Listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Iran Sat or Bat 5 and Intel Sat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamate is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Welcome to another episode of the program, Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Hashimi Nejad. Please stay tuned. In one part of a beautiful dua called Ya Man Azhar al-Jamil, we read, "Thanks to the one who gave me his blessings even before I deserved them. The blessings of Allah are given to us from day one. We are created in the wombs of our mother. He gives his blessings to us when we are only an embryo. When we are born, we have no teeth to chew the food, so Allah gives mother the milk to feed us."
تمام ویتامین‌های عالم را که بدن من لازم داشت.
Allah has put all the vitamins in the milk of the mother so that I will grow up. Also, Allah has put His kindness in the hearts of the mother and father so that they will try their best to nurture me. When older, Allah gives us teeth to feed ourselves. Whenever I become sick, I understand that what blessings, including my health, were given to me by Allah. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Hashim Nejad. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. We'll leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
Hajj pilgrimage, a wonderful opportunity to serve God. Welcome to the fifth and final program in our series, Hajj Pilgrimage, a wonderful opportunity to serve God. In this program, we discuss the Hajj pilgrimage as a symbol of Islamic civilization, and the Hajj as an Islamic society on a small scale. Please stay with us. We must view the Hajj pilgrimage correctly and have a correct understanding of the importance of this religious obligation. Hajj is a global and civilizational issue, the purpose of which is to advance the Islamic nation, the Islamic Ummah, to bring the hearts of Muslims closer together and to unite the Islamic Ummah against disbelief, oppression and arrogance. Indeed, if there was no Hajj, the Islamic nation would collapse. The Hajj is truly an international and global event. The Lord Most High has invited all people to perform the Hajj. Inviting human beings throughout history to be present in a certain place and on certain days is an indication of the important goal and countless benefits that exist in this divine call. The unity of the Islamic nation and confronting the arrogant powers are two examples of the goals of the Hajj pilgrimage. One of the numerous worldly benefits of the Hajj is that in this great gathering, Muslims demonstrate their presence and their power, and they stand up to the arrogant powers and all oppressors around the world. Some of the benefits of the Hajj are related to the hereafter. The Hajj pilgrims should purify and cleanse their hearts from all that goes against the remembrance of God, through supplication, through prayer, sincerity and worship. The international and extraterritorial view of the Hajj is another fundamental issue. The Hajj period is a great opportunity to get to know the nations and global issues. If all Muslims are aware of global issues, they can understand the enemy's real purpose and the reason for its insistence on certain issues. Islam's opposition to geographical, racial, social, class-based, and other discriminations is part of the fundamental principles of the Hajj. The uniformity and sameness of all pilgrims from any race, history, and cultural background is one of the secrets of the Hajj. As the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei has emphasized, the word Hajj should spread awareness in such a way that when people, especially young people of today, hear the word Hajj, it should evoke fundamental concepts in their minds, such as the formation of an Islamic civilization, Muslim unity against the oppressors, having a trans-border view, and eliminating the current disparities that exist in human societies. One of the great blessings of the Hajj pilgrimage is its role in strengthening the social fabric of the Muslim world. This great gathering plays a powerful role in cementing the Muslims of various nations to one another, and it helps to foster a set of common values and common goals. Islamic acts of worship, such as the Hajj pilgrimage, possess various secrets which help benefit the worshipper. And it also benefits the wider Islamic society. The Hajj is even more comprehensive than the other acts of worship with respect to its social components, and it shows the people that Islam is a social religion at heart. When we are faced with such reality within the teachings of the religion, we come to the conclusion that the individual is a part of his society and that he must integrate himself within society. In light of this reality, we know that it is wrong to think that worship at home is better than worship with congregation. Some people wrongly assume that if they stay in their homes for prayer, they can concentrate better and that their prayer is superior to the congregational prayer. The Islamic teachings, including such acts as the Hajj pilgrimage, show us that this is an incorrect way of thought. It is even evident in the manner used in the sentences about prayers, that they are meant to be performed within the congregation as a whole and not individually. For example, when we look at the verses of Surah Al-Fatiha, we find that one verse states, "You alone do we worship, and to you alone do we turn for help." This verse uses the term "we," and it doesn't say "I." Another verse in the same Surah Al-Fatiha states, "Guide us to the straight path." Again, this verse uses the term "us," and this shows us that the social nature of our religion. In the light of the teachings of Islam with regards to unity and the power of the congregation, it is clear that the religion considers that the congregation is foremost in its importance. The individual is trained and educated within the heart of the congregation, and this is why many of the acts of worship in Islam are congregational, rather than individual in nature. Similarly, the spirit of the Hajj pilgrimage is also social in nature, and anything which might undermine this congregation is detested in our religion. This includes things such as spreading rumours, backbiting, slander, and cutting off relations. These are all considered to be great sins in Islam. At the same time, reconciling the believers, working with others and meeting the needs of the people are considered to be some of the most beloved actions in Islam. In conclusion, we can say that while we must focus on the outer aspects of worship, we must also focus on the spirit which drives these acts as well. The people who only focus on the outer aspects of worship are negligent with regards to the spirit and are in error. Such people will not only miss the secrets related to the spirit of worship, but they will also miss out on the various aspects of the outer realities of worship as well. The outer reality of the Hajj includes things such as Ihram, the ritual stay at Arafat and Ma'shar, the rituals of Mina, the circumambulation of the Kaaba, the Sa'i, or ritual running, and the Halq, ritual headshave, and other such things.
Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
I would like to take this opportunity to talk about one dimension of the personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen.
As-salamu alayka ya Amin Allah fi ardi.
Peace be upon you, O trusted guardian, appointed by Allah.
The universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother.
Imam Ali alayhi salam, the most distinguished and extraordinary personality in Islam after the Holy Prophet Muhammad. His entire life is a struggle for the advancement of Islam, the universal religion prescribed by Allah for all of humanity. Imam Ali alayhi salam was the living miracle raised up by the Holy Prophet Muhammad himself, and was not only the successor and the executor of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, but as history testifies, he was also a great human being, a brave defender of Islam, a just and fair judge, a generous philanthropist, a champion of the people, and the most pious person of his time. And in today's world, overcome by evil and darkness, and oppression and slavery, and tyranny and falsehood, a quick look into this beacon of truth and justice, a look into the universal persona of Imam Ali, is greatly useful for making and changing our lives, our families, our societies, and our world into the beautiful world that Allah has planned for humanity.
قال أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام: من أطاع التواني ضيع الحقوق، ومن أطاع الواشي ضيع الصديق.
Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam said, "He who is a sluggard loses his rights, and he who believes in the backbiter loses his friend." ¶¶
Welcome back, dear friends. It's a blessing to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio, the program's To My Brother, and we were discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. So, dear friends, one of the profound lessons which humanity can learn from Imam Ali, peace and blessings upon him, is that a person who is in the position of leadership, a person who is a statesman, should show good moral and ethical behavior. Now, the following lines are from Imam Ali's letter to Malik al-Ashtar, one of his companions, one of his commanders in the battlefield, and he was also the governor of Egypt on behalf of Imam Ali. In this letter, Imam Ali writes to him, "Demonstrate the position of good behavior of the statesman in your rule." Now, even though apparently this letter was written to Malik al-Ashtar, in fact, it is addressed to every single political leader, to every single statesman, government, functionary, president, prime minister, judge, any person who is in a position of leadership, even going down to whether you are a mother or a father, an older brother or an older sister, an older relative. And not only is it for all these kinds of people, truly a universal statement, but it is also for all times. It has been applicable for the last 1,400 years. Now, dear friends, in a day and age where we live, we find that political leaders and statesmen and government functionaries, not all of them, but some, if not most of them, show behavior which is not befitting even an average human being, let alone a person who has political power. And so in this day and age, we find that these statements of Imam Ali are truly universal for all people and all times. Now, the underlying message of the letter of Imam Ali to Malik al-Ashtar calls upon political leaders and administrators to have a high regard for their people and to treat them on human principles. Again, another point which is very applicable to today's time, a truly universal concept being put forth by Imam Ali. And so Imam Ali alayhi salam writes, "Infuse your heart with mercy for the subjects around you. Infuse your heart with love for them and kindness towards them. Be not like a ravenous beast of prey above them, seeking to devour them. For they are of two types, either your brother in religion or your like, the same as you, in creation. Mistakes slip from them, defects emerge from them, deliberately or accidentally. So bestow upon them your forgiveness and your pardon, just as you would have Allah bestow upon you His forgiveness and His pardon." Very beautiful and truly universal statements put forth by Imam Ali, where he is telling people in positions of leadership, and as we said in previous programs, this includes me and you in very different aspects. For example, as a mother or a father or a co-worker or a relative or a sibling, what does Imam Ali tell us? He says, infuse your heart with mercy for those around you. Love those around you. Be kind towards around you. Do not be like a wild animal seeking to eat up and destroy those around you. Always remember that these people around you are either your brothers or sisters in religion, in Islam, or they are like you in being creations of Allah. Many times in our positions of power, whether it is being a parent or a sibling and so forth, the people around us, they make mistakes, they have defects. either deliberately or accidentally, Imam Ali's universal persona teaches us to remember that they will make mistakes, that they will have defects, but it is important for a person to forgive and to pardon, just as we would want Allah to forgive us and to pardon us. Dear friends, these lines are replete with such philanthropic ideals, such universal statements as being kind and humble with people, being generous and sympathetic towards them, treating them equally, eliminating ethnic discrimination, and so forth. Truly, if we were to apply and implement and act upon these statements of Imam Ali, the world and our societies and our homes would be drastically different. And so another beautiful lesson that one needs to be kind and humble, generous and sympathetic, treat people equally, forgive and pardon, a beautiful and profound lesson given to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali, alayhi salam.
تمام ارزش‌ها و صفاتی که انسان چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به اسلام چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به هر دینی
human in general whether a muslim non-muslim or even a disbeliever respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib this means Ali ibn Abi Talib is a global character who is respected by Sunnis, Shias, and even non-Muslims. Everyone, even the faithless people, respect Imam Ali and his personal values.
تبقى عيني بدمع مشتاقيا قد لسعت حية الهوى كبدي فلا تبي ولها ولا راغي
And now we invite you to listen to Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. I would like to take this opportunity to talk about one dimension of the personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen, and that is the universal aspect of his personality. George Ardaq has very appropriately given the title to his book, where he says, Al-Imam Ali, Sawtul Adalat al-Insaniya, that Ali is the voice of human justice. Because when you look at the sense of justice of Amir al-Mu'mineen, it is even that sense of justice. Then his mind and his heart is universal, applies to everything, even animals. One example again in that same context of the government and how he used to deal with the people, a person by the name of Ash'as bin Qais, a munafiq. The reason I'm saying munafiq because he was, you know, a hypocrite, didn't like Ali. His daughter is the one who poisoned Imam Hassan. And his son, Muhammad bin Ash'as, was one of the officers of Yazidi forces in Karbala. So the whole family is the family of Nifaq, in a way. And he came one day to the house of Ali. Apparently it was night time, with a flask of honey, a container of honey. Honey is sweet. But when Amir al-Mu'mineen looked at it, to Ali it was not sweet, it was poison. Not because poison had been put in it. This person had actually come to bribe Ali. There was an issue he wanted to be done, and Ali had not yet given the response positively. And so Amir al-Mu'mineen asked him, what is this? Asilatun am zakatun am sadaqa? Why did you bring this for me, this honey? Is this a reward of something that I have done? I have not done anything for you. Or is this part of zakat or sadaqa? And if it is that, فذلك محرم علينا أهل البيت. If it is zakat and sadaqah, then it's haram for us on Ahlul Bayt. We can't use it. He says, no, it's not this, not that. This is hadiyah. And Amir al-Mu'mineen knew this is not a hadiyah. He's trying to bribe Amir al-Mu'mineen. And that is where Amir al-Mu'mineen says something which is really worth pondering on those words. Where he says, وَاللَّهِ لَوْ أُعْطِيتُ الْأَقَامِلِيمَ السَّبْعَ بِمَا تَحْتَ أَفْلَاكِهَا ألا أن أعصي الله في نملة أسلبها جلب شعيرة ما فعلته. He says, by Allah, if I am given the kingdom of the seven heavens and whatever is beneath it, with one condition that I should disobey the command of Allah regarding a small ant and pull away the grain of barley from its mouth, by Allah, I will never do it. Just think about it. Somebody is given the choice. You become the master of the seven heavens and whatever is underneath it. And you have to all do one thing. There is one ant which is a grain of barley in its mouth. Just pull it out. What do you think about it? Look at the equation there. Al-aqalim as-sab'a, seven heavens and whatever is beneath it. And one, grain of barley. And this is where Amir al-Mu'mineen is showing that, we have to remember. The goal does not justify the means. Many times we get confused there. Maybe there was a very shrewd politician. He will say, okay, I'll pull out that grain of barley. And once I become the king of the kingdom, of the heavens and the earth, I'll give 10 barley to this same ant. But Amir al-Mu'mineen is saying, I don't want my government to be based on committing a sin, an injustice, even to a creature like a small ant.
Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.ir/en, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.
Of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Sheikh Baqir Sharif Al-Qarashi decides to compile.
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosro Shahi.
Shahid Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr.
He was born in Qadhimiyya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmud Shahrudi was...
When we look at the works of late Rawzati,
there is a famous sentence from Mirza Khalil Qamarani that he says in Farsi, "Tuhid kalame baraye kalame tuhid."
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in the teacher.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program, The Teacher. In this new series of the program, The Teacher, we are introducing the most outstanding Sahaba and companions of the Infallibles, starting from Imam Ali alayhi salam. I am Atta, the host of this program. With me are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi and Shaykh Rouhani. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah.
And Shaykh Rouhani, assalamu alaykum.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Okay, for today's discussion, we want to talk about one of the most outstanding and prominent companions of Imam Ali alayhi salam and Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam, Kumail ibn Ziyad al-Nakhai. Mainly when we say Kumail, the first thing that comes to the mind of the Shiites is Dua al-Kumail. We'll talk about this Dua and supplication too. Before that, Shaykh Rouhani give us some details about the Nasab and the lineage of Kumail ibn Nakhai.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Kumail ibn Ziyad ibn Nahik al-Nakhai, Suhbani Kufi, which is the full name of this great companion of Amir al-Mu'minin, as well as the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kumail was born in the 12th of Qamari Hijri year. He was one of the tribal leaders among the Nakha'a tribe, Qabila Nakha'a, and he lived in Kufa and died in 82 of Qamari in Kufa again by the direct order of Hajjaj ibn Yusuf al-Thaqafi. Of course, he was among the great companions of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wa salam, as well as Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salatu wa salam. As you rightly mentioned, Kumail ibn Ziyad is known as one of the great narrators, as he narrated one of the very beautiful, and we can say a masterpiece, a very perfect dua, which is called Dua of Kumail, which is well known by his name because he narrated this meaningful dua from Imam Ali alayhi salatu wassalam. And about his, political aspect of his life, we can say that he was the first person who actually suggested the khilafah of Amir al-Mu'minin Ali alayhi salatu wassalam after Uthman. And he supported fully Imam Ali alayhi salatu wassalam in his khilafah. And also, it is said that he was appointed as one of the mayors of one of the cities by Imam Ali alayhi salatu wassalam, as the governor of part of, let's say, Kufa, I think, by Amir al-Mu'minin Ali alayhi salatu wassalam. That place names was Heat, I think.
Yes.
And of course, then when Muawiyah attacked that area, occupied this, place and area, he came to Amir al-Mu'minin Ali alayhi salatu wassalam. But of course, he followed and supported Imam Ali alayhi salatu wassalam and the whole life of Amir al-Mu'minin Ali alayhi salatu wassalam.
Yes.
That's why he is, of course, one of the great narrators, as well as one of the great, we can say, politician, political figure as well, mm-hmm. among the companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he was, of course, among the companions of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salatu wassalam. As he was killed and was martyred by the order of Hajjaj ibn Yusuf al-Thaqafi, it shows that even after the Shahada of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba and Shahada of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, he was still one of the very devoted, we can say, followers of the Ahl al-Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. Because of this, Hajjaj ibn Yusuf al-Thaqafi ordered his tribe to bring Kumail ibn Ziyad, and he killed Kumail ibn Ziyad because of his devotion to the school of Ahl al-Bayt alayhi salatu wassalam.
That's all right. Okay, Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi, give us a picture of his scholarly life, his religious life. How was Kumail al-Nakhai?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, the Kumail al-Nakhai, because he was in Yemen.
Yes.
Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his life, he sent Imam Ali alayhi salam as an ambassador to Yemen to do the preachings. And that was the time when Kumail, for the first time, he met Imam Ali alayhi salam. And the journey of the teacher and student, like Imam Ali being a teacher and Kumail being a student, it started from that time. And obviously, as rightly mentioned by a dear guest, that at the time of the first two caliphs, like Abu Bakr and Umar, he wasn't there in Medina, but at the time of Uthman, the third caliph, he came.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a very apparent role in defending Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. And that was the reason that when Uthman knew about his activities, he exiled him towards the Shamat,
yes,
the Syria. On the other hand, there is a question generally which raised in the minds that if Kumail was martyred in 82 Hijri.
Yes.
Then where was he at the time of Karbala?
Yes.
Was he there or not? What we can see in the history is that he was very active at the time of Imam Hassan alayhi salam. Mm-hmm. He was from the closest companions of Imam Hassan. And since he was with Imam Hassan, therefore Muawiyah, he basically captured, he imprisoned
yes.
him. And Misamet Ammar. Him and Misamet Ammar and other
yes.
Shia prominent figures of that time. And it is also narrated that he was in the prison when the incidents of Karbala happened. And the very next day, they freed them.
Yes.
Like right after the incident of Karbala in this day of Ashura, on the 11th of Muharram, they freed these people because Imam Hussein was martyred. So therefore, why they were not at the Battle of Karbala, it's because they
So it was Yazid who imprisoned him.
It was at the time of Muawiyah.
Uh-huh.
They were in the prison.
Yes, yes.
Because of the support of Imam Hassan.
Yes, yes.
You know, the agreement which was happened during that, the Kumail and Qambar,
yes.
like Qambar was also from the close companions. So they were all with the orders of Muawiyah first, and then later mm-hmm. with the orders of Yazid.
That's right.
They were imprisoned because the reason was these were so active people.
Yes.
Their, you know, the way of preaching was so, you know, attractive that they were like, they were not freed by the Banu Umayyah. So they were imprisoned at that time. And after that, obviously, when he becomes free from the, like, you know, the prison, he comes to Imam
That's right.
Zainul Abidin alayhi salam. And
yes.
then, obviously, he starts to, you know, preach the teachings of Imam Ali and Imam Sajjad alayhi salam.
Yes. Okay.
And we can see that his activities were even... in the time of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, in the favor of Ahlul Bayt, it was so prominent that when Hajjaj bin Yusuf, he attacks the Kufa and Basra, he gives the orders of killing the Kumail. So Kumail was martyred and his shrine is in Najaf at
yes.
the moment. Like those who want to go to the Najaf,
yes.
They can visit his shrine.
Yes.
And just next to his shrine, there is a mosque. You know, the Mosque of Hanana.
Hanana, that's right.
And the Mosque of Hanana, basically Hanana is the place, it is known as a place where from where the voice of cry or the mourning
uh-huh.
arises. The reason is that it is said that when after the Shahadat of Imam Hussein, when this caravan, they were moved towards the Kufa, they stopped at this place.
That's right.
It was a mosque at that
yes.
time. They stopped at this place and they placed Imam Hussein's head in
yes.
that place.
That's right.
And from there was a cry. Obviously, they could hear the noise of or voices of crying
yes.
of the land at that place. So that's why this is known as Hanana. So those who will visit, inshallah, in Arba'in or maybe at the time, Iraq, when they go to Hanana, they can visit the shrine of Kumail as well.
Kumail ibn Ziyad, that's right. Kumail ibn Ziyad is mainly known being among the confidants of the Imam, I mean Sahib al-Sir. Some of the, we can say, hidden information that the Imams had access to were shared by some of the truthful companions of the Infallibles, including Kumail. That's why he is known as Sahib al-Sir of Imam Ali alayhi salam, or among the confidants of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir. La ilaha illallah.
La ilaha illallah. But Sheikh Rouhani, as I said at the beginning of the program, Kumail is mainly known with Dua al-Kumail. You know, what is this Dua? What is this supplication? How was it issued? And why the name of Kumail is over this Dua?
Yes,
Actually, Dua Kumail, which is also known as Dua Khidr, it was narrated by Kumail ibn Ziyad about the fada'il and the virtues of this dua. There are lots of ahadiths about the fadila or fada'il of this dua. For example, from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, it is narrated that it is one of the best du'as. And also Amir al-Mu'minin, the narration is so long, I do not want to mention all of them. Once Kumail ibn Ziyad asked Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam about dua Khidr, because Amir al-Mu'minin talked a lot about the fada'il of this dua. Then Kumail went to the house of Amir al-Mu'minin. It was late in, at night. And then Imam Ali ﷺ said that, why did you come here? He said that, I ask you about that dua that you talked a lot about, this fada'il, dua Khidr. And then Imam Ali ﷺ told him that, okay, I will not be for a long time among you. So it's the best opportunity that I teach you this dua. And then Imam Ali ﷺ dictated the dua. Then Kumail ibn Ziyad wrote down all the, let's say, the du'as.
Yes.
So this is a very good du'a. Allama Majlisi, who is one of the great Shia scholars, he said that it is the best, or it is the most perfect du'a in the history that is narrated by Kumail ibn Ziyad.
Yes.
In this du'a there are lots of great madameen, great, let's say, the content of this du'a. We can say that a very good, the perfect kind of lessons or teachings about how to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how to talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what are, for example, the main, let's say, attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, the very important point is that when we want to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, it is very much important to know how should we talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something, it is really significant to know how should we talk, with what form, with what shape, with what method, with what kind of wordings, what kind of sentences. You know, this is very much important and significant that Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam, in many of their du'as, supplications, they taught us all these kind of important lessons and doctrines and teachings.
That's right.
About the dua, and also about this dua, Dua Kumail, in the history, if we see that lots of scholars in their works, they wrote many commentaries on this dua, explanations about this dua. It shows that how much scholarly dua, how much meaningful dua, and how much, let's say, kind of perfect dua it has been in the history, that lots of scholars actually dedicated their time to this dua, and also wrote commentaries and explanations about this dua. So of course, if you read this dua, you see that about mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about the power of God, Qudra, about His majesty, His magnificence.
So all in all, it is in praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first.
That's right.
And then start, for example, asking the shifa'a and the forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a very meaningful dua, the best dua that everyone can read this dua on the Jum'ah nights, particularly on the night of Nimei Sha'ban.
Yes.
That is narrated
15th day of night
the 15th of Sha'ban.
That's right.
Which Amir al-Mu'min alayhi salatu wasalam himself said that you have to read this dua on that specific night.
Okay, Sayyid Mohsen, now we've got about 2-3 minutes. Any important point about Dua al-Kumail?
One of the important things is that today we can see in the West, especially in the Shia communities, they're talking about the authenticity of this dua. And some people, unfortunately, who pretend to be Shia, basically they are ghullat, who
exaggerate.
Exaggerate, who takes, like, who talk about Imam Ali, exaggerate the status of Imam Ali to be God or near God. So unfortunately, these people are very prominent in our community. And since in this dua, we can see, like, how Imam Ali alayhi salam is with humble or humility, he's calling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I'm Abdul Za'if, I'm your poor servant, weak servant of you, O Allah. Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi. The way he talks to, he calls Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way he talks about the forgiving and the context which is which has come in this dua due to that, because it is against their ideology. the ideology of those who exaggerate about Imam Ali alayhi salam. That's why they have started a new, you know, campaign against the different, we can see like supplications, dua, ziyarat, even ziyarat varisa.
Yes.
Some people are talking against it. Some people are talking about against the hadith kisa.
Yes.
And same is the case with the dua kumail. Therefore, I request our listeners, the mu'mineen, to look at the context.
Yes.
The material which has been given by Imam Ali.
Imam Ali alayhi salam.
And the Nahjul Balagha, you know, you can see the things that Imam has said in the Nahjul Balagha, it is same as what it has come in the dua. So this is my request to our brothers that they should not give any importance to such things, because what we have from Imam Ali, obviously, these are the wordings of infallible Imams. Mm-hmm. This cannot be done by an ordinary person. You know, an ordinary person even cannot write a dua the way we have in Sayfa Sajjadiyah. So dua kumail is one of those things. So inshallah, we believe that they will do that. All on top of that, obviously, we have the proofs as well,
like
the sanad, the references for this, as it is known as the dua Hazrat Khizr as well.
That's right.
You know, in Tahzibul Ahkam, this is one of the authentic books that we have. When you look at the narrations or the riwayat about the first night of the Ramadan, there we can see like how Sheikh Tusi is bringing, you know, a narration in which he's talking about dua iftitah and dua kumail, both of them.
Yes.
And it brings all the authenticity of these two du'as. And obviously, this is important that when we get something and when we have seen so many years, for centuries, this du'a is known as the du'a which was taught by Imam Ali. Therefore, there shouldn't be any doubt in it.
That's right. In one part or excerpt of this du'a, we read, O Allah, my trials and sufferings have increased, and my evilness has worsened, and my good deeds have diminished, and my yokes of misdeeds have become fear, and remote hopes restrain me to profit by good deeds, and the world has deceived me with its allurements, and my own self has been affected by treachery and procrastination. Therefore, my Lord, I implore thee by thy greatness not to let my sins and my misdeeds shut out access to my prayers from reaching thy realm, and not to disgrace me by exposing those hidden ones of which thou hast knowledge. Really beautiful contents addressing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The beautiful thing which is at the end, Yasari ar-Ridha, about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, means that he quickly accepts, quickly agrees.
On your prayers.
He becomes happy.
Yes.
You know, the way we excuse or we say like sorry to our parents, sometimes they very quickly answer.
Yes.
But it is even more than that.
Yeah, that's right. As I said, Ya Ilahi, Ya Rab, Ya Sayyidi, Ya Mawlai, you know, Allahumma, these are the titles referred at the very beginning of the each paragraph or excerpts of Dua Al-Kumail. Really beautiful. I invite the dear listeners to refer to the Arabic and English translation of these Dua. Thank you, my Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi and Shaykh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration regarding the life account of Kumail ibn Ziyad al-Nakhai, one of the most Facebook companions of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Also, your explanation on Dua Al-Kumail. It was very kind of you. And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to us. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir. To another episode, God bless you. Afi amanallah.
Fires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
Israeli settlers' violence against Palestinians has been on the rise. In the latest development, the settlers in the occupied West Bank village of Umm Safa near Ramallah attacked Palestinians and torched two of their homes on Saturday. The residents of the village said the attack happened after Palestinians prevented settlers to build an outpost in the area.
What happened today has been going on since Thursday. Settlers tried to set up a settlement on village land, and Palestinian families have been stopping them for 2 days. The families, together with villagers from nearby, tore down this outpost yesterday. It looks like the settlers didn't like it, so they attacked us this morning from many sides of the village.
The attack followed an anti-Israeli operation in which at least two Israelis, including a soldier, were injured at Qalandia checkpoint north of the West Bank city of Al-Quds. Israeli troops killed a Palestinian who opened fire on regime forces. The 18-year-old was shot by live bullets. The Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigades, the military wing of the Palestinian Fatah movement, took responsibility for the attack. In another incident, Israeli settlers rampaged through Palestinian towns in the occupied West Bank on Wednesday, setting buildings and cars on fire. Health officials said one Palestinian was shot dead during the settlers' attack, while at least one other was critically injured. The attack followed a similar assault on Monday. Backed by the Israeli army and military choppers, Israeli settlers raided Jenin refugee camp, killing at least 10 people, including a 15-year-old girl. Israeli forces shot her in the head while she was filming the regime's armored vehicles. Dozens of Palestinians were injured, some of them critically, during the incursion. Palestinian resistance fighters conducted a retaliatory operation in an area between the cities of Nablus and Ramallah, killing 4 Israeli settlers there. The fighters were killed in exchange of fire with Israeli settlers and troops. Palestinian resistance movement Hamas claimed responsibility for that attack. The Monday raid came as residents of a number of other Palestinian towns have reported settler violence in the area. The recent attacks by Israeli settlers against Palestinians have been to the extent which has drawn reactions from not only the Palestinian officials, but also international rights bodies. The Palestinian Foreign Ministry has blamed the Israeli Prime Minister and his cabinet for the violence. The ministry says the attacks, which are incited by some far-right Israeli ministers, is a policy adopted by the regime's cabinet to murder Palestinians. It also condemned rising crimes committed by the Israeli forces. The United Nations called for an immediate end to violence in the occupied West Bank.
This week's violence in the occupied West Bank risks spiraling out of control, fueled by strident political rhetoric and an escalation in the use of advanced military weaponry by Israel. This sharp deterioration is having a terrible impact on both Palestinians and Israelis, and we call for an immediate end to the violence.
Lawrence was particularly referring to the Israeli Monday raid on Jenin refugee camp. He called the Jenin attack a major intensification of the use of weaponry more generally associated with the conduct of armed hostilities rather than a law enforcement operation. The UN official said international human rights law requires Israeli authorities to ensure that all operations are planned and implemented to minimize the use of lethal force. He said Israel must urgently reset its policies and actions in the West Bank in line with international human rights standards, including protecting and respecting the right to life. The recent Israeli settler violence against Palestinians is, as their foreign ministry says, rooted in extremism and far-right mentality of Netanyahu cabinet. Testimony to that is a recent call by Israeli far-right minister Itamar Ben-Gavir for the assassination of thousands of Palestinians. The hawkish minister has also thrown his full backing behind Israeli settlers and called for the construction of more settlements in the West Bank. The recent Israeli settler violence against Palestinians and the growing power of far-right groups and religious hardliners in the Israeli cabinet are very alarming. If the regime does not put an end to such practices, what could not be beyond doubt is another intifada waiting to happen. Not only that, such provocative moves will eventually make the entire region erupt in flames.
Thank you.
The situation was tense on Saturday between Russia and Wagner, a mercenary group fighting alongside the country's military in the Ukraine war. The tensions all started late Friday after head of